Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Mountain View. I'm Pastor Sarah. It is a delight to be able to worship with you on this first September of the month. We will have many times of connecting today, but especially the grace of God will draw us near to the communion table where all are welcome and all will be poured out with God's love. In that time, we will have an opportunity to experience healing prayer. So if that is something that you would like an individual moment with someone to pray with you, that will be offered on this side during communion. I want to welcome all of our visitors here today. Brian, I want to offer you a great thanks for being here and welcome. Brian is here to just show us his skills, but also because Susan Carl, our organist, is celebrating the life of her mom today in a memorial, and so we lift her up in prayer. Are there other guests among us that we would like to acknowledge? Seeing none, I'm going to invite Lenore to share a little bit about what's going on in our world here at Mountain View before we greet one another.
Good morning. I'm Lenore Kerber, and I know some of you don't know me because I usually attend the 903. We were having trouble this morning getting people and somebody to sign up to do the liturgy. So I'm going to put a shout out right now that if you're interested in ever coming up here and can't get any worse than me, really. if you're interested in helping out, let Lynn Pierce know. She's the one that organizes this for this, or really just reach out to the church office and they'll get us in the loop. We'd love to have you have a couple more people who would just kind of fill in on a regular basis, but thank you. Having said that, take a look in your bulletin. There are a couple of things I'd like to bring up. If you look, there are three separate announcements for the UMW. If you're at all involved, it's some really wonderful fellowship and worship together. There's also two separate things for people who have a little bit of Spanish in their background or in their speaking. The virtual Spain pilgrimage, which was Trudy Gigi and her son took. They're exploring the Camino del Norte, which is the holy pilgrimage walk. There's several of them in the area in the north of Spain. Beautiful. She and I actually were there at the same time. I wasn't doing the Camino, though. And there's also, the solos are going to Ajua, which is Mexican Spanish, for their, I think it's monthly, or no, it's mostly monthly, gathering. Anyway, also like to point out the Launch with the Pastor lunch. If you're at all interested, if you haven't joined the church, and if you're all interested, even if you're not quite ready, it's a great time to, you know, pepper him with questions and get to know what it means to become a member. So I would encourage that. Thank you.
We're going to do a Psalter this morning, and I'd like you, if you would please, actually open up that hymnal to page 832. And there's Psalm 111, and here's what we're going to do. We are going to sing response 2, by the way. I'll sing it once, Jerry is going to play along, kind of, and then we'll have you sing it. Then, when we get to the text, Pastor will sing, will speak the regular text, you will speak the bold text. And then when you see that little R show up again, we'll sing response 2, okay? So, here we go. And, great are the works of the Lord, which abound to the ends of the earth. Here we go. Great are the works of the Lord, which abound to the ends of the earth.
Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them.
Full of honor and majesty are the works of the Lord, whose righteousness endures forever.
Who has caused his wonderful works to be remembered, the Lord is gracious and merciful.
The Lord provides food for the faithful and is ever mindful of his covenant. Here we go.
Great are the works of the Lord, which abound to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just.
The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it, the good understanding, the praise of the Lord endures forever.
Great are the works of the Lord, which abound to the ends of the earth.
Please rise for our hymn, opening hymn, God is Here, 660 and on our screens.
In Christ we share.
Amen. You may be seated, and I'm going to invite the kids to run forward. I think, Max, we need to start timing you. Nice. Hello, gents. It's just the boys and me. So I have toothpaste with me. Do you guys like the taste of toothpaste? Jameson, not so much. No, not yet. Some toothpaste like tastes like bubblegum, doesn't it? You don't like bubblegum, oh. You're missing out. All right, well, we don't have to think about the taste of toothpaste right now. I want us to think about how we get toothpaste out. Do you ever have toothpaste and it's like all gloopy and gloopy after you've used it? You can't put the top on and all of that kind of stuff. That happens at my house as well. But I was thinking about the toothpaste inside. And when it gets all gloopy, you can't like, all you can do is wipe it off and hope it goes away, right? Well, I want us to think about the paste inside as our words, things that come out of our mouth, okay? And Max, I'm going to let you try. Yeah, let's say, I want you to tell me what you had for breakfast, and you can squeeze as you tell me what you have for breakfast. Okay, with ketchup. Brilliant. Good. Okay, that's great. And Walker, I want you to talk about one thing that you really love about your brother. Squeeze as you talk about it.
He always... I don't know anything, but he went at Monopoly... on Friday night, and I'm still thinking he cheated because of how much money he had.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so we weren't quite sure what to say, it sounds like he was good at Monopoly, though you're questioning his character. All right, well, I've got lots of toothpaste on this, right? It's kind of gross. Now, Walker, if your brother were here and he wanted to say something nice about you, what do you think he would say? That you're a pretty cool guy to hang out with, and you're like with your dog. You guys like to play with your dog together?
Probably because I'm willing to do anything.
Okay, so you're a good little brother who does anything he asks. Wow, that's pretty nice. Okay.
Unless it's like weird.
And Max, was your breakfast good? Was it tasty?
I
put too much salt on one part.
Too much salt. Yeah, okay. So if we could take it back and we could say, oh, you know, I really wanted pancakes today, and maybe, oh, and my brother, he's so good at mountain biking, and we could take back this toothpaste, could you put some of this back in there? Yeah, oh, it gets super goopy. Oh, goopa loopa. Okay, brilliant. You get the point, right? It is very difficult to put toothpaste back in a tube of toothpaste, as well as it is very difficult to take back our words. So when we speak to one another, when we talk about things that we like or don't like, when we talk to others, it's really important to know what we're going to say and be able to say them with love and kindness, because we can't take them back. They're out there forever like toothpaste. So this week, when you're at school or you're playing sports, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, are my words going to taste good? Are they going to be, are people going to hear it and be like, oh, that was really awesome. I'm glad he said that. Or are they going to be like, oh, I wish you would have taken that back. All right, I want you to think about that and think about this tube of toothpaste, that it can get really messy when we don't, when we're not quite sure of what we're going to say. Okay, can we try that? That's our practice this week. Let's pray together. Dear God, thanks for toothpaste, and all the ways it helps us, both with our mouth and reminding us of our tongue and our words. May the words of our mouth bring you a smile. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head back to the playground or with your folks.
Pastor Sarah and I are offering a witness to the week as we lead ourselves into worship as we come into this place. And what I want to witness, what witnessed to me in the week was a conviction, rather convincingly. We heard on Sunday afternoon, maybe Monday morning, about a young man who was playing in a tournament for John Madden 2019 video football in a competition in Jacksonville, Florida. When he was eliminated from the tournament, instead of accepting his loss, he unexpectedly murdered two of his fellow gamers and himself. Maybe you heard the story in the news. Investigators are still trying to determine his motive, but it seems that in an age when participation trophies are given out just for showing up, losing was simply unacceptable to this young man. The wonder and value of human life is deeply discounted when we blur the lines between virtual reality and actual reality. Our hearts bleed. And I acknowledge this may be just one incident in a sea of unrelated instances. The game is just a game, and perhaps tragedy just reflects the mental state of this one disturbed individual. And I'll leave it to others to talk about policy and societal fixes. What I want to explore today, as one solitary, faithful individual, could we have made a difference in this man's life? Could his community have made a difference in his life? What hope could have been supplied by a word or an act or a gesture of kindness to avert this threefold tragedy? Somebody in his neighborhood? Could he have built a relationship with somebody at the university? Would someone in the faith community in Jacksonville have offered to pray for him? I don't know. But more generally, my very specific role as pastor and public theologian, I find myself pondering how faith in our Lord Jesus Christ can be brought to bear on our crushing defeats and inevitable losses. Finding the right balance in our lives with God and the world is a lifelong pursuit. It's the purpose of church, and one of the main reasons I think people come to worship on Sunday mornings, finding that right balance, being able to consider the impacts of faith and what it really means to be a Christian out in the world, because losing is an unavoidable part of life. We want to know how we can respond to crushing defeats. Failure is an inescapable portion of our existence. We want to learn how to respond with mature and grateful spirits. Brokenness is part of the human condition. And if it's our brokenness or someone else's, we can have a heart of compassion for them and perhaps make a difference in someone's life. That's what I hope we'll be talking about a little bit later as we move through our service.
Ushers, come forward. I want to invite you to offer yourself in this way of worship. In the act of giving, you become closer to God, not because He needs your money, but because God needs your heart. And where we put our treasure is where our heart is. So allow God to move through you in this act of worship and offering.
As a fire is meant for burning with a bright and warming flame, so the church is meant for mission, giving glory to God's name. Not to preach our creeds or customs, but to build a bridge of care. We join hands across the nations, finding neighbors everywhere. We are learners, we are teachers, we are pilgrims on the way. We are seekers, we are givers, we are vessels made of clay. By our gentle, loving actions, we would show that Christ is light. In a humble, listening spirit, we would live to God's delight. As a green bud in the springtime is a sign of life renewed, so may we be signs of oneness mid earth's peoples many hued. As a rainbow lights the heavens when a storm is past and gone, may our lives reflect the radiance of God's new and glorious dawn. May our lives reflect the radiance of God's new and glorious dawn.
Holy and gracious God, the God of the penny and the two mites, the God of great bundles of coins, we recognize that your abundance is in all of it. God, as we come before you with our gifts, our hearts opened to you, we recognize that many of us are in various places. Those of us who are holding joy and thanksgiving revel in that. And we thank you for those opportunities to see your grace in our life. For those of us who are holding deep sorrows around loss, around illness, around hurting, we offer these back to you, asking that your tenderness and peace surround us, just as your love comforts each of us. For all that we offer, God, we thank you for offering back tenfold and more, for being the God of abundance who will take what we have and transform them for the glory of your world and your light. Be with us now. Give us courage to hear, to listen, and then to speak your words into the world. We give this to you this day and evermore. Amen. You may be seated. Or no, please, I'm sorry. Stay standing. Let's sing.
Please be seated, and we will hear from Lenore the passage of James 1, 17 through 27. The whole thing this time, that's right.
At the 9:03, I managed to only read two verses, so. From the letter of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For any are hearers of the words and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and keep himself unstained from the world. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Lenore. And yes, I intend to speak to more than just the two verses. I want to speak to the whole text. Would you pray with me? Help us to be, O God, your people in this place, to be mindful that our words in anger cannot deliver your salvation, to be remembering that the good things of God show us and our hearts what it is we need to be about. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. I believe that when James composed this letter, he composed it to be preeminently practical. And it's one of the reasons I really, really like it, because I really want to have things spelled out for me in the Bible so I know what it is I'm supposed to be doing and to be about it. I believe that he did so to address some very specific issues in a particular congregation. Perhaps it was his own church where he was worshiping. Or perhaps it was penned for another community elsewhere. The first century community that James is addressing in this epistle was dealing with infighting, was dealing with anger over the very nature of its ministry and the divisions between people which sometimes arise. Friends, there are instructions here for each and every one of us as we maturely wrestle with our faith and values and set goals for our future together as sacred community. These are not words for the ancients and nobody else. These words are for you and for me. At the heart of this passage of Scripture from James is the idea of right relationship with God, getting right with God. Now, those words don't appear in the passage, but they're the underpinnings, the overburden, the struts, the beams that hold it all together. Getting right with God surrounds every bit of this passage. It is absolutely essential for us to seek right relationship with God, to remake ourselves in God's image, and to understand the essence of this text. And what does James say? James says you should seek the good things of God so that you might become some kind of first fruits of God's creatures. Seeking the good things of God is not what we are always about. Sometimes we mope about in our disappointments. We struggle so deeply with our sorrows, our losses, that we can't get out. We can't get away from it. We can't move beyond it. And there is a sort of comfort in that. And yet it is in the good things of God that we will find our blessings. He says that in hearing and doing the will of God, we would welcome the meekness of God's implanted word. And that is that although there is a divine spark within us, sometimes we take a wet blanket and we just cover it over. The meekness of God's word is implanted from outside of us to be lifted up within us and turn away from our usual ways of operating. Being called to get right with God in right relationship is not part of our own nature. It can be very hard. James says that you must know that your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Not today, not ever. Our wickedness will not save our souls. The strength of our opinions, even if we are dead to right, correct, and honestly true, will not bring us closer to God in any way, shape, or form. He says that when we remember whose we are, we will be blessed doing God's will. And it's so easy to forget, looking in the mirror, bang, you look good today, son, and looking away and forgetting altogether that you are to look good for God's sake, not physically so much as spiritually. He says that trying to be a Christian and not minding your tongue is a road to disappointment. You can't get there from here. It's a gateway to worthless religion. That's pretty direct. James does not mince his words. We must find a way to bridle our tongues so that we can move forward in faith. What our Lord has asked of us is to operate out of his motives and not so much completely out of our own, not just our own anyway. To care for the powerless, the lost ones and their distress, to show respect one to another. Right relationship with God underpins all of these teachings, and there's not one scintilla of difference between Jesus and James on this point. Humility is key to living the Christian life. Humility. Sharp tongues never deliver, and the wholeness we seek in God's name. Humility is an uncomfortable reality of being a follower of Jesus. James doesn't mince words. I like this about James. Maybe it says something about my hard-headedness. I love when the Bible is complete and instructive, you silly man. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In truth, James could have stopped his letter right there and addressed 99% of what the church has needed to hear for 99% of its existence. He tells everybody, just cool it. Come on, just cool it, man. Slow down. Stop being intransigent. Whether you're right or whether you're wrong is not the point. Your anger will not produce God's righteousness. The word righteousness is the same word we find over and over again in the writings of Paul and the epistles. The word righteousness is what it means, doing what is right in God's sight, not necessarily our own. James is saying that you could believe all the right things, you could do all the right things, you could say all the right things and think you are religious, but you will not find righteousness with God with snapping, fault-finding anger. It's not there. Something else is there. And James goes to the heart of the matter and defines what ministry is. Religion is pure and undefiled before God, righteous. When it comes to faith, to care for orphans and widows in their distress, the powerless, the lost, the misdirected, the lonely, the mistaken, the mistreated, the vulnerable. Doing this loving care is not extracurricular to God's gospel. It's not a nice little extra. That is our faith. It is foundational. You see, our job is to see others as kindred, even those with whom we seem diametrically opposed. That is the heart of Jesus. Our task is to take meekness out to meet others in their anger and distress. For if we take kindness and understanding and meekness away, you no longer have pure religion. You have something else, something less. I have a confession to make. I have not yet mastered all of these life skills, so stay tuned. You can help your pastor as we do life together by staying true to James' instructions, by keeping faith with each other, by not racing on to major and minor things. As your pastor and friend, I don't pretend to have ready-made answers for us, But I do know that we traveled this road together. And along that road, uncertain as it may be, we are charged to help one another, not curse one another. We are all just trying to get right with God. We are all just trying to live up to Christ's character, not down to our mean human existence. We are reaching to exceed our grasp, deal gently with each other, and mind our tongues with both meekness and love. I cannot discount how good it feels to be righteously angry. That feels good for about, 5 minutes. That feels really good. But it's not what we're called to as followers of Jesus Christ. Not you, not me, not any of us. Our salvation is not in that place, but something else. It seems the two brothers inherited their father's farm and decided to run it together. And side by side, they split the land, but the harvest they would share. They would work side by side. They'd share the harvest, each into each other's granary, half and half. One of these farmers was a bachelor and had his responsibilities on his half of the farm. And the other farmer was a man with lots of family. His bride, his children, his mother-in-law, his father-in-law, his parents, his father being passed away. So he had a lot of responsibilities. Well, one day the bachelor considered his brother and thought, my brother has a family. He has a family to feed and take care of, and I have none. I have plenty to meet my needs, however, and he certainly needs the grain more than I do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sneak out in the middle of the night, go down to his granary and take a sack of grain from my granary and take it across the road to his brother's garner. And he did this for several weeks in a row, exactly to fulfill his brother's need. In the same way, and about the same time, his brother, the one with the family, thought, my brother has no one to take care of him when he gets old. I have a family and plenty of grain. I will go and take a bag of grain from my garner and set it down in my brother's granary so that he will have just what he needs. And he did this for several weeks in a row. Until one night they ran smack dab to each other in the darkness, carrying sacks of grain for the other. And the story is, as they stood there, a warm and gentle rain began to fall. It was God's joyous tears that two of his beloved children had realized that they had enough to satisfy, enough to fill, enough to share in kinship one with another. Human beings are an interesting species, wouldn't you say? We would rather pretend that we know everything and should never lose at anything than turn to God for help. We have answers for people's problems and pretend to have everything well in hand, and yet more than positions, people need relationships, give and take. More than anger, the world requires meekness. In the midst of our failures and losses, egoism and uncertainty, God needs us to be grounded in Christ's love. This is how we tap into our faith's resilience. This is how we move through our disappointments. This is how we go to where God can bless us. James, trying to practice the spiritual discipline of bridled tongues, perhaps ran across in his sacred community some of the things that we see in the world. Some of the disagreements that pull us to and fro. Some of the challenges over values and futures, which none of us know, but all of us hope to bring our best selves to. Maybe James heard a disturbing tweet. I don't know. It's a lot to consider. But the answer remains the same: to be ready to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, so that we might produce God's righteousness and not just our wrath. What is the impact of our faith on this world? How can we make a difference in people's lives? What word of gentleness and kindness might we share that will bring somebody back into a relationship with God that is right and true and healthful? That's our task. How do we stay balanced in the world? James' instruction gives us a window on what might be required to hear and do God's will. In the 20th century, Mother Teresa said, "Keep this in mind, dear friends, that our community is not composed of those who are already saints, but those who are trying to become them. Therefore, let us be extremely patient with each other's faults and failures." We do not have it all together. We are not all that in a bag of chips. We are people traveling this road together in confusion, disappointment, facing losses that would drown us completely. And yet, God wants us to glory in the good things of God, to reach beyond our own sense of right and wrong and listen with intent hearts to those who we completely disagree with, to speak with meekness the love of God, because our anger will not get us there. It may make us feel better, but it is not going to show us the righteousness of God. Would you pray with me? Help us, Father, to mind our tongues, to be ready to accept your love and peace, even if we don't understand it. For we have lessons from the wisdom of the ages, that our rage and anger will not lead to righteousness. It never does. Give our hearts peace, which passes all understanding, and help us this day accept the implanted word of God. Amen. As we seek to be gentle one with another, we come to this sacred meal to get right with God, to be changed and challenged from within, to be moved, reshaped, rekindled, and to realize God's grace. All who love the Lord earnestly, repent of their sins, and seek to live in peace with their neighbor, let us offer our silent confession before God. Good news is that Christ died while we were still sinners. This proves God's love for us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Dear God, it is a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks, Creator of heaven and earth. And we acknowledge Jesus, your anointed one, and are sustained in our faith by your love and his sacrifice. We seek today not only to hear your word, but also to do it. Implanted in our hearts, the first fruits of divine creation, a mirror in which we encounter your grace. And we, your people, seek you, Lord. So in our experience with all your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn singing.
Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. We ask that you consecrate these gifts of cup and bread to your service, Almighty God, for you have decreed that even in difference we should be loving, and in disagreement meek. These are not polite surface suggestions. They are the heart of the teaching of your Son. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts this day that we might reveal ourselves in your divine unity. Set us free from bondage to anger, ego, and sin, and grant us righteousness in the hearing and doing of your word. Capture our hearts, set us to service, and bridle our tongues for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.
On the night he was betrayed, he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And so after supper, he took the cup of blessing, and he shared it with them all, even Judas, that together he would experience the love and forgiveness of Christ, that they would receive one another in the meekness of the implanted word, that they would be together in the grace of Christ. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Consecrate us and consecrate these elements in union with Christ's offering as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
For you have set aside our rage and disarmed our anger and broken the tyranny of sin. Set us free, Lord, to service and grace, to forgiveness and life in unity of the Spirit. Meekness and love allow us to discern your vision for the church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us share with one voice the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please come at your usher's direction to receive the elements. If you cannot come, the elements will be brought to you. Notify your usher and we'll be sure and catch you at that point. Those who are to come forward to assist, come forward at this time.
Gluten-free elements are available on the side of the piano, and healing prayer will be offered on this alternative side.
the symbol of the grace. Brothers who desire the sacrament, in your love and grace, O God, we acknowledge our struggle to bridle our tongues, our struggle to act out of meekness, our struggle to receive with humility the gift of your unfailing grace. In this sacred meal, Lord, make us whole, at least whole enough to recognize and realize how much we need you, and continue the journey together in meekness and in love. Amen. Please join me in the closing hymn that we will sing together. The way God bridles our tongues is by first controlling our hearts. Our hearts must be open to the love of Christ, to speak different words, speak them in different ways. May the grace of Jesus in the meekness of his word touch your heart, that you are quick to listen, slow to anger, and slow to blame. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lead us out. Thank you, friend. Good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.